Welcome to the Dynasty Freaks podcast with your host, Justin Christopher. For free rankings, player values, waiver wire tips, and trade advice, follow him online at dynastyfreaks.com or email dynastyfreaks@gmail.com.
Hello and greetings from Austin, Texas. Welcome all of you Dynasty Freaks. Admit it, you are addicted to Dynasty. I am too. My name is Justin Christopher, and I'm a Dynasty Freak. That means I love drafting, trading, scouting, managing all of my teams 365 days a year. So to you, so let's talk some Dynasty, episode number 274. It is finally rookie draft time, and so I wanted to give a quick podcast, send it out a little bit early. I know a lot of rookie drafts will be starting this weekend. Mine's the first one starting in about an hour, recording this on Saturday morning, and have finalized my rookie rankings. I finished them after Sunday of the NFL draft, but spent this week doing just a little bit more studying, a little bit more tweaking, and now I have my final rankings as we enter this fun month of May and the mini rookie drafts that will take place. So thought that I'd walk through probably like the top 36. We'll see how long this takes. Maybe talk about some guys in the round five that I'd be interested in too, but just wanted to make a few comments, tell you my rankings. Again, you can go to dynastyfreaks.com and look them all up while you're doing your drafts. I'm sure you've got others that you follow, but I would say, hey, take my rankings into consideration too. And let's see how these rookie drafts play out. So here are my top 36 rookies in this year's class. This is Superflex rankings here. Number one is Caleb Williams, obviously, top quarterback that was taken, top quarterback for some time. And I think he's obviously going to be the 101 in most Superflex leagues. There are occasions where I'm a 10-team Superflex league where I've already got three starting quarterbacks. And in that case, I'm probably going to be drafting actually number two, Marvin Harrison. Harrison's obviously been the most elite prospect that we've seen since probably Calvin Johnson, so he deserves to be way up here in the rankings. I love where he landed with Arizona. I think that's going to be a great fit. I've been a little concerned this week, though, when he's not signed his NFLPA licensing deal and the fact that he didn't do any of the combine or any of the athletic testing. A little bit of that pride or kind of cockiness is starting to maybe question just a little bit, but you can't question what he's done on the field. And so, number two, a recent riser that I changed last week is Jaden Daniels. I decided to go ahead and make him my third ranked player and the second ranked quarterback. I just think that you can't take away the athleticism and the way that he's going to score fantasy points on the ground. I do like his weapons too. Y'all know I'm a Jahan Dotson truther. I like that they just drafted Ben Sennett. And then they've got, of course, Terry McLaurin. And so I kind of like where he's landed. Seems like the Washington team is finally kind of doing things right. And so look forward to seeing him play. But right behind him, number four, I do have Drake May. I love May. I didn't like that he landed with New England. It kind of feels like it's an entire program that's rebuilding. But from a dynasty perspective, he was my QB2 for almost this entire process until the last week when we found the landing spots. Close as they could be, I do like him. I like that they got him some new weapons. More on the two of those guys in a little bit later. But he's going to get to start over, trust his character, trust his work, and I think he's going to be a great quarterback to help turn New England around. Number five is Malik Nabers. Wasn't crazy about the landing spot, even though that's where everyone projected that he would go. The good thing about his landing spot, even though his quarterback isn't the best, he is going to get targeted like crazy. And so I think he walks right into a wide receiver run one role, just like Marvin Harrison does. So Nabers is my number five for the Giants. Number six for me is Rome Odunze. I knew and suspected that he would get drafted by Chicago. I kind of wanted Atlanta to draft him instead so that he could be a wide receiver two, where now in this thing he might start as a wide receiver three to start his career, but still supremely confident in his ability to become Caleb Williams' number one target for the years to come, surpassing probably by the end of this year or next year, surpassing Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. So supremely confident in him. That's kind of where I'd say that my first tier is, kind of a tier break there at number six. But now to number seven, we've got J.J. McCarthy. I like that he was drafted with Minnesota. Obviously has tons of weapons, got the draft capital in the first round. Just the fact that other terrible quarterbacks did well fantasy-wise in Minnesota with Coach O'Connell knows how to scheme things up, and he'll make the most of McCarthy. I'll mention one more thing when I get to my next quarterback. Number eight, we've got Brock Bowers. Wasn't thrilled where he landed. I didn't like that very much. I just don't think that the Raiders plan to, I think they plan to be a very run-heavy team. And so for that standpoint, I really wanted Bowers to land with maybe a more creative offense that knew that they were going to pass the ball more than they run. But still, you can't argue with, you know, how well he's played in college and where he's going to go in the NFL. I don't worry too much about Michael Mayer, although it hurt all of my shares of him. I think they're going to play completely different positions, and Bowers is just going to be an offensive weapon for them. Number nine, I've got Xavier Worthy. He's slowly moved up. Now he's my wide receiver four in this class. I love that he landed with Kansas City. That's where I hoped that he would land, and now he's got to be their new Tyreek Hill. I'm excited about what he can do. Trust Coach Reed to use him in the offense the right way. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes, that's the guy who's throwing in passes. Really kind of stayed away from Kansas City wide receivers since Tyreek Hill left. It feels like they just spread the ball around and they keep trying different things, and none of them have worked. But I've obviously here, hook 'em horns, watch my horns here, and Xavier Worthy is incredible from day one on campus, and he's going to be able to do the same, even his size, in the NFL. Number 10, one of the fastest risers, like I mentioned in last week's podcast, for me is Bo Nix. Drafted at Denver, 1.12. That moved him into the, you know, if you're doing super flex rankings, he's going to be an immediate starter. And so I will say this about all the quarterbacks in this class. You know, historically, about 50% of the quarterbacks fail. And so good grief, to have six that were drafted in the first round, I can't imagine that all six are going to do well. I like that the draft capital means they're probably at least going to get a couple years shot at it. But we'll see. I was not as high on Nix before landing with Denver. Trust in Sean Payton there and see what he can do with his new weapons, even though his weapons are much younger. Number 11, hook 'em horns for me would be Jonathan Brooks. Definitely took a move up since he was the first running back drafted. I did have him as my RB2 before the NFL draft, but being drafted by Carolina, trusting in the Canales offense and what they're doing there in Carolina with him as their new head coach and controlling the offense there makes you really hopeful. The fact that they traded up to get him means a lot too. You know, might not start off great, but still, I figured all along there was eventually going to be a running back that would crack the top 12 in my rankings, even in super flex rankings, and Jonathan Brooks did. Very confident in what he could do there. Number 12, this is where that would also be where I put another kind of tier break here. At number 12, Ladd McConkey. When we signed with the Chargers, they were very excited and ecstatic to get him. He definitely goes into a place where he's got a pretty wide open depth chart and can do things different than what Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnson do. And so you can tell that the way Harbaugh was excited about drafting him, I think they have some clear plans for him. Wasn't a huge fan of McConkey's, you know, college production, but all of the scouts along the way said that he was supreme in his route running and is going to be one of the better draft picks. So cracked my top 12 now. Number 13 is Keon Coleman. Moved him back up just a little bit this week after thinking a little bit more about him. I think I had him at 12 right after the draft, so just moved back one spot. I think it was basically just a lad jumped them, these next two guys. Coleman still just loved where he landed. Still, he's very up and down as a college prospect, so we'll have to see, you know, but he's definitely got the most wide open role probably of any of these receivers. He's going to come in and have to be an immediate starter at the X position. And Josh Allen, you know, can use him. I think he'll be a great goal line receiver as well. Number 14, I think I'll definitely have this guy higher than most, Xavier Leggett. Been higher on him all along the way. The fact that he did turn into a first-round pick is great. There are some question marks, of course, you know, that late breakout and the fact that he just is a very questionable prospect, much older. But I think the way that I heard in a lot of the press conferences with Canales is they have a very specific way that they want to use him, and I think he's going to get the ball and be targeted a lot in that offense. So excited about him there. I think I'll be getting a lot of Leggett because I bet I have him ranked higher. Haven't looked at anyone else's rankings yet, but I bet I have him a lot higher than others. Number 15, another guy I probably have higher is Blake Corum. Corum, I love the way he landed with the Rams. You know, he's definitely going to be sitting behind Kyren Williams, but I think that they're excited about using him and kind of giving Williams a little bit more of a spell this year. So we'll see. Williams gets hurt just like he did last year. All running backs get hurt. And so at times, Corum is going to provide, you know, become a great starter at various points this season and may even be able to surpass Williams once he gets a chance to prove himself. Number 16, and definitely way lower on this guy, you're probably wondering why I haven't mentioned him yet, Brian Thomas. I've been lower on him all along, feeling like he's kind of a one-trick pony, has a lot of room to grow, and then I really didn't like when he landed in Jacksonville. I just feel like there's not proven that they can do what they need to do offensively with that team, and I didn't really like where he landed. He's definitely got some competition with Christian Kirk, now Gabriel Davis, Evan Engram. I just think the ball's going to be spread around a lot there. He's definitely, like he did in college, he'll have some breakout games, but I think he's also going to be pretty silent, so I'm going to be opposed to the majority on that one, that's for sure. Trey Benson's my number 17. I like the spot with Arizona. I wasn't as high on him as everyone else, but it was pretty clear along the way that he was going to be one of the top drafted backs. And so being drafted as second back makes him someone we definitely have to have rise in our rankings. Arizona's great. I think that James Conner, he's definitely older compared to Corum, who comes with a guy that's just 2 years older than him football-wise. And then CC Benson, though, has a much bigger gap that Conner's career is going to end much sooner than is Kyren Williams. So got them close, but I still love the landing spot for Corum more than Benson. Number 18, Ricky Pearsall, the surprise of the draft in the first round. One of the surprises, I guess. The last two picks were pretty big surprises. San Francisco picking him up. Obviously, he has very stiff competition, so it's more of a look to the future, thinking that Ayuk or Samuel will be gone next year. And Pearsall, when Kyle Shanahan has eyes for someone, he's generally right, though sometimes he's wrong. So got him there at 18. 19, took a little bit of fall, Adonai Mitchell. I've raised him up a little bit from where I think I had him last week. Got a little more confident. I just know the ball's going to be spread around there. Y'all know what I talked about last week with my concern about Richardson. But one, just taking running touchdowns away, also being a little less accurate. You got a stiff competition there with Downs and with Michael Pittman. Love Adonai Mitchell, love my Longhorn, but had to move him back quite a bit. But late in the second round, I'd be interested in grabbing him. Next guy's probably one that I have higher the most, Ray Davis from Buffalo. I have him ranked 20th. I just loved where he landed. The Bills do not trust James Cook in the goal line situations. They just never have. And so they've always tried to fill their hole with a bigger back. And Davis, one that I already was way higher on beforehand, once he landed, he actually moved up my rankings from where he was before when I had him ranked ahead of everyone else. So I have a feeling I'm going to get a lot of Ray Davis. 21, Jalen Polk, the very, very surprise pick at 2.5 to New England. Moved him up just because of draft capital. Don't like the landing spot, but they're trying to start something new there in New England. I do love that he has Drake May now as his quarterback. And just because of draft capital, I moved him up quite a bit. I think that he can be used in a lot of versatile ways, so that's good for him. But I think another guy I'm going to mention later could probably actually become the wide receiver one. They're just going to have different roles. And that would be number 22, Roman Wilson. Love that he landed with Pittsburgh. Love that he's going to have an instant role. No competition there at the slot position for them. And pretty weak on the outside receivers with Pickens being more vertical. Van Jefferson, who's not really proven very much. Roman Wilson's going to jump in right away. With a new run-first offense, so you got to take that into factor. But definitely Pittsburgh's always worth taking and gamble on here at the end of the second round. Roman Wilson would be a good pick. Other guy I've talked about a lot during this offseason, number 23 for me, is Javon Baker. Love that he landed with New England. Love that he was ticked off right before I actually hit record on this podcast. I saw on a tweet that he said that he's going to make a lot of people regret that there were 17 wide receivers that were drafted ahead of him. That doesn't always come true, but I think he's the type of guy that really has that attitude that's really going to prove it. And I think he's a more versatile receiver in New England. Be the downfield guy where Polk will be used more on shorter routes and trying to get the ball in his hands quickly. Baker's going to be more vertical, and he's also just more diverse. So I think I'll get a lot of Baker because that's probably higher than most people have him. 24, last part of the second round, would be Torrey Franklin, drafted by Denver. All the opportunity in the world there, paired with his former quarterback. I think that's a good spot, landing spot for him, even though he fell probably like the most, more than anyone else thought he would fall in this year's draft, at least among dynasty rankers. That size and some of the athletic testing made him fall, but you can't argue with the production on the field, and would love to see what he can do there in Denver as they try to redo that whole offense. 12 more to go here. We got Ben Sinnott, number 25, first pick of the third round, in my opinion. Loved him all along. He had moved into being my tight end number two before the draft, and then after the draft, the big gap of second round draft pick really made me think, yeah, they've got great plans for him. Open spot, Zach Ertz is really the only one there that he'll have to fight off. Already the coaching staff has talked so great about him and the ways that they plan to use him. Excited to see what he can do in Washington. I'd be willing to take him early here in the third round. Number 26, that's where I slotted in Michael Penix Jr. You know, you got to just keep in mind that draft capital. You know, if he gets a first-round draft pick, odds are that they really want to see him play. It's a shame that we can't draft him earlier, but for me, this is about where I'd be willing to take that risk. Kind of a drop-off in my rankings. There's actually a drop-off right there at Senate. And so another tier starts, and so that's where I throw in Penix. Could start some games this year. You know, quarterbacks get hurt all the time. We could see what could happen there in Atlanta. But definitely didn't want to take him that early in the first or second round, even though I think in most Superflex leagues he will get drafted earlier than I'd be willing to do it. 27 is Jalen McMillan, wide receiver for Tampa Bay. Like the landing spot, I think that he's going to compete for the slot spot, probably take away a role from Palmer there and really become the future, as you know, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans both getting older, creating a way for Jalen McMillan. Actually liked him more than Polk before the draft, and then the draft capital made me kind of switch those guys. He was definitely more productive than Polk when they played together. When they were both healthy playing together, he was more productive. But I think, you know, the draft capital says a lot, so I had to move Jalen down a little bit. But I still like the landing spot long-term in Tampa Bay, even though it won't make an immediate impact. 28, I have Malachi Corley. I've been lower on him than most analysts throughout the whole process. Just kind of feel like he's a one-trick pony, kind of. But he did land, you know, got great draft capital at the first pick of the third round. To the Jets, their quarterback uncertainty is a little bit of a question for me, too. And it, obviously there's targets to go around there with Garrett Wilson really being the predominant. I was kind of sad for my Xavier Gibson shares because I've got quite a bit of those, too. I was looking forward to him being the slot guy. But now it looks like that will be Corley's by himself. Number 29 for me is Audric Estime. I think I'm going to be a lot higher on him than most. I like the landing spot in Denver, even though it was a fifth-round draft pick. I listened to some of the press conferences this last week, and it sounds like to me that Sean Payton actually really likes him a lot and wants to have kind of a thumper. And really, Javonte Williams just didn't prove enough last year in Payton's eyes. I'm kind of excited to try to grab Estime a little higher in the third round compared to where probably most people have him ranked. 30, I have my tight end three, Hook 'em Horns again, Jatavion Sanders. I like that he got drafted early, the first pick of the fourth round, even though he fell longer than people thought he would. He's definitely going to have some competition with all the things that they're doing there. I don't think he's going to ever be like a true three-down tight end. He's definitely fallen down my rankings, but probably about 30 would be when I'd be willing to take a shot on him. 31, Jermaine Burton from Cincinnati. I like that he's going to be the heir apparent. I'm going to jump in right away as the wide receiver three. And the three receiver sets, sad for my Yosevash shares. I was really hoping for Yosevash to have a breakout year and him be the replacement when maybe T. Higgins leaves after this next year. But maybe not. Maybe it's going to be Burton now. I know the Bengals were very excited to get him there. And so their excitement level shows me that they actually like him more than the rest of the ones on their roster. Number 32 would probably be willing to take a chance on Jalen Wright. I bet most people are going to draft him before I would. Just very crowded backfield there in Miami. You like the landing spot, but just the split pace with Achan and Mostert right now. He could just be the future, though, waiting there. I've just not been as high on him throughout the whole process, given his college offense, but now he landed with probably about the most perfect landing spot for his skill set with Miami. So I just still think other people will be willing to draft him a little bit higher than I would. Same for the next guy, 33. I finally put in there Marshawn Lloyd. Like that he landed with Green Bay, but I just haven't been as high on Lloyd over the process. He definitely has two backs in front of him with Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon, but he could really move into that running back two probably ahead of Dillon sooner than later. The draft capital seems to indicate that they were high on him here with a pick 20 in the third round. So I think, too, he's probably going to be one that people draft before me. The next guy, though, Luke McCaffrey, I think is going to be one that I'm going to be willing to draft ahead of others. I've got him at number 34, going to Washington, surprise pick there in the end of the third round. I just think the bloodlines speak enough to me that I would be willing to take a chance here. He's definitely going to be third fiddle, but maybe I'm wrong about Dotson, and Dotson kind of flames out, and McCaffrey can be more. But I think he instantly walks into a starting role, and so I like that. Number 35, moved him up even more this week, Kamani Vidal. The Chargers, you know, have a pretty open backfield, definitely an older backfield and an injured backfield. and heard some press conferences this last week regarding Vidal, and they like him a lot. And so I think that he's going to be steady in the third round. It's going to be interesting to see which people are willing to draft him even earlier than that. I got him at 35, but I bet there's going to be leagues that I'm in where people jump up and grab him way earlier, and probably some leagues where people just wait, and he could fall to me at 35. Finally, 36 would be Spencer Rattler. That's about the time I'd be willing to take him in a super flex league, thinking that maybe Derek Carr's days could be numbered in a few years and Rattler can learn under him. Chance at an injury, he could also be one of those guys that comes in and produces and could take Carr's job, definitely, if he gets injured. So those are my top 36. A couple other guys to mention. The next guys after that, I have Tyrone Tracy Jr. and Malik Washington. Those are definitely guys that I'd be targeting in the fourth round. Other guys maybe of note that I have higher or lower than others. It's pretty messy after that. So I'm excited about those first three rounds. I think rounds four and five will be just kind of take your best guy. You can definitely go to my website and just look it up yourself. Again, I would hope that you'd use these or consider using these while you're doing your real rookie drafts. Pretty exciting time. I know my next one's starting in 30 minutes right now, except 27 minutes. Can't wait to get these things started. Wanted to send this out early in case you guys are starting some drafts this week. Also, next week won't be a podcast because I'm actually going to see my friend in the Dominican Republic, making it where I had to start all the leagues that I commission, that I'm the commish in my leagues. We normally would start drafting on Monday of this first Monday of May. But going to see my good friends in the Dominican Republic, and we'll be gone for a week, but I'll be back afterward, and that's when the rest of my rookie drafts get kicked off. Hope you have a great time during yours. That's a wrap for this week, my freaky friends. Thanks so much for listening. Make it a two-way conversation anytime by contacting me at dynastyfreaks@gmail.com, dynastyfreaks with two E's. Much better on email than any social media madness, so email me. I'd be honored to hear about your drafts and hear how things are going with you. I'd also be honored if you take time to rate and review the podcast and Apple Podcasts. That would mean a lot to me. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your support. I do want to become your most trusted, independent voice in the Dynasty landscape. Until next time, you know what to do. Enjoy your drafts and get freaky.
Thanks for listening to the Dynasty Freaks podcast with your host, Justin Christopher. We welcome your thoughts and advice. Let us know what you'd like to hear on the podcast or see on the website to help you dominate your league. Justin prides himself in responding to every email, so hit him up anytime at dynastyfreaks@gmail.com and follow him on Twitter @LonghornJustin.